Welcome to the Beautifully Free podcast. I am your host, Bonnie Lee Cuevas. I am an author and a healer, and I am igniting women's fierce self-love and wild freedom through holistic and metaphysical healing. Stay tuned for today's episode. Welcome to the Beautifully Free podcast. I'm your host, Bonnie Lee Cuevas, and I have today's wonderful guest, Amber Rose Stahl. She is a visionary artist, author of Heart Quest, The Deck, and also a sacred sexuality mentor. I'm really excited to have her on the show. How are you today, Amber?
I'm wonderful, and it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we're just going to dive right in today. So my first question for you is, you once said that what you desire is on the other side of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. That resonates so true for me. What have you done in your life to shake things up and get out of your comfort zone? And what did you mean by this? What can our listeners, mm-hmm. how can our listeners step outside of themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. I want to take a little bit of a spin on this. And when I, you sent me a few questions ahead of time, and I glanced at them, but I purposely didn't really try and develop any answers because I like to really be in the moment, so I'm as authentic as possible.
Yeah.
And what really stood out for me with this question, though, immediately, is that being comfortable, like my comfort zone, is actually very uncomfortable for me, which is an interesting thing. And it's been that way. I had like sort of a wake-up call in my early 20s where I realized that if I was comfortable, if I was cruising along, I wasn't really growing. And this realization that in order to grow, which became fundamentally, like essentially core to who I am, I had to continuously be stretching and making sure, you know, like if what box, like I'm going to bust mm-hmm. through this again and again and again. So it's kind of like, I don't know, at this point in my life, at this point in my journey, I've found that the being comfortable is just, it's actually uncomfortable. And that's, I think that's a huge catalyst moment that a lot of people come to at some point.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
please go ahead.
I was just going to say, and in terms of like what I do to shake it up, like to answer the other side of that question, what I do to keep myself outside of my comfort zone or moving beyond my comfort zone is continuously be checking back in with whether I really feel like I'm growing. Because if I feel like I'm in a place of stagnancy and not really growing, then I have to mm-hmm. just be going, okay, what's the next thing that I can do that's really going to help me grow? What's the next thing? And if I don't know what that is, sometimes just taking creative action, like doing something mm-hmm. creative and artistic, gets that energy flowing again.
And I think that, you know, you really touched on that, you know, that checking in part. There are seasons where obviously you're there and you're existing, you're taking in all of this mm-hmm. growth, but then after that season, you know, other seasons come, you know, things die out, there needs to be growth, and being able mm-hmm. to check in and step outside of yourself and push yourself where you're a little bit uncomfortable is
yeah.
really part of that journey, you know, and finding yourself and getting to a place of wholeness. You talk
yeah.
about creativity, and I've been lately, I started to make the time and effort to actually block in time for me where I'm being creative. I'm not an artist. My art is words, but even just things, whether, you know, something I find online that I want to try out, or I have like the adult coloring books and, you know, finding mm-hmm. time to just be creative. Now, mm-hmm. again, I'm not an incredible artist like you are. You know, your art is just so moving. And it's incredibly unique. It speaks to you. It's,
aww.
You know, this light. I really do feel that way. You know, I'm such a fan. Where do you find the inspiration for your pieces and the time and space to be creative? Like, what inspires you to create these masterpieces?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much. And I just want to acknowledge that A lot of the women that I connect with and that I work with, I hear a lot this, like, I'm not really creative, or I'm not really an artist, or I'm trying to find ways to be more creative. And, you know, I just always love to remind people that, like, we are creative by nature. You know, it's just, it's who we are as people. Like, one of the amazing things about being a human that I think that no other creature really on the planet has the way that we do is this ability to create, this ability to think and imagine beyond what has already been created. And even something as simple as like a little doodle finger painting, and let me tell you, I finger paint a lot. it's something new that hasn't been created before. And so giving ourselves permission to, like, kind of a little bit in a playful way, revert to some of our childlike nature, where we can be in awe of something as simple as this, like, smudge of blue paint that we've just smeared on a piece of paper, you know, like, to see it in a new way, in a new light, with, like, fresh eyes, the way we might have as a child, is just such a gift that we can give ourselves. And I think that a lot of people find themselves feeling silly, you know, like, they're trying to be grown up and they've lost touch with that part. And I think for me, in terms of my inspiration, it really actually started because, you know, I was very creative as a child. So maybe it's, you know, innately just one of my gifts that I came in with. But then I went through a lot of really challenging things in my teens and 20s, and I suppressed a lot of it. At some point, I found myself in massive pain. I was like in this just intense full body pain, so stressed out to the max. You know, actually had a migraine for 4 months, which is unheard of, you know, literally like about ready to check out. I couldn't take anymore. And this little voice inside of me said that I needed to paint, you know, it was just like my spirit calling me, like, this is how I save myself. And so I began, you know, that my inspiration actually came through massive pain and trying to find a way to sort of save myself. But then what I found is as I began to express, I found bliss in it. I actually was able to, like, go to the other end of the spectrum. And so now being creative for me has become such a pleasurable thing that it's like, if I'm given the choice, if I have nothing else on my schedule, I'm going to be painting. I'm going to be playing. And so, yeah, that's the best way I know how to answer that.
No, it's such a beautiful answer because it does awaken in you that childlike spirit, and it does awaken these things in you that revitalizes you. And
yes.
So, yes, your answer is so perfect.
Thank you.
And it's so meaningful. You also donate a portion of the proceeds from your art sales to nature conservation. Mm-hmm. I have such an appreciation for this planet. You know, I previously lived a tiny house homesteading life, and to be able, it was literally the best time of my life because I was immersed in nature daily. We were completely off grid. And, you know, when I saw this and I read this, it was just so meaningful. And what are your favorite organizations to donate to, and why do you choose to do this?
Okay. So, first of all, I just want to say I love the background that you have. And although my own background is quite different, there's some similarities in that I grew up in a community largely off-grid. And we grew a lot of our own food. You know, I had an outhouse growing up. We didn't have any television.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I got that background and that foundation from my parents. And then my grandparents were always really big supporters of the Audubon Society. And the Audubon Society, their big thing is it's all about birds and, you know, how to help the birds of our planet. So they would donate to the Audubon Society for me as a kid. And then that's something that I, you know, took on as I grew as well. And one thing that's so cool about, anything like that, like if you're donating to an organization that's working on helping to save birds or whether it's sea turtles or whatever, it all connects, it all interlocks, like all the elements of nature. When we're helping in one area, it's helping the greater whole too. And so I think it's hard for people to figure out sometimes, you know, what organizations they want to donate to, where they're going to make the biggest difference. And I think any of them, as long as you find a really quality organization, they all like kind of feed into one another. They all help. And so the Audubon Society is a big one for me. The Arbor Day Foundation, which helps to replant trees, is something that I've been involved with for a long time. And another one that I recently got involved in that I'm really excited about is Sea Turtle Conservancy. And they're based out of Florida, the Sea Turtle Conservancy. And conservedturtles.org is how you get in touch with them. But I am looking in the future to volunteer with them, too, to help with the nests and stuff, because living in Florida, it's not too far from here. But when you donate with them, you can even, like, you know, like, adopt and support, like, a certain type of sea turtle. And that's a really cool way to go. So, and why it's important to me, our planet is, like, it's all we got. And, you know, I love the statement, there is no planet B, you know, this is it. And, and so we all need to be thinking in every step we take and every action we take, you know, what the impact is on the planet and what we can really do to give back.
I think that our connection to the planet, I think that when we, you know, develop that connection to Gaia, to our Earth, our Mother Earth, it grounds us, and it also gives us a different perspective on life, and also you know, enlighten us us to all of these incredible gifts around us that, you know, normally on an everyday basis we're just not even paying attention to. And you know, thank you for doing that. I think it's just such a beautiful gesture, and it's just a reminder to everyone out there that when we do good, you know, it comes back to us, and it's so important, especially, like you said, there's no planet B, you know.
Yes.
And yeah.
If I may, I want to add one more little thing to that, and that is that a lot of people don't, you know, think about this, maybe, but, you know, donating to organizations is one thing you can do, but another thing you can do that benefits the planet as well as your family immediately is to grow a garden. And I'm a really big fan of Seeds of Change, which is an organization where you can get, like, heirloom seeds, and then they also give back, like they give grants and stuff that helps like community-based farms. And there's no better gift you can give your kids, or no better way that you can get them connected with nature and the natural environment than growing a garden. So
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I've noticed, I'm living back in New Jersey, but we're making a big major move next year, further down south. And what I've noticed is that people are finding really creative ways to grow gardens. You know, they're using the rooftops, they're creating community gardens, because again, tapping into nature, that gives us that gift of feeling connected and feeling whole. And you're nourishing your body with something completely natural and stepping away from, you know, the toxicity of things. So it's just a really beautiful gift to ourselves and, you know, to the planet. You also describe yourself as being, you know, you describe yourself as using creative expression to facilitate radical change and personal transformation. Can you tell us more about how that works, what it does for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this actually ties into, I think, another question that you were maybe going to tap into about my Heart Quest deck. So maybe I can kind of start talking about both those together, because because it's why I developed the Heart Quest deck, is to do this very thing. Let's see. From the time I was really young, you know, I was really creative, and I could, the best way I know how to put it is I could tap into on an intuitive level. Perhaps I could see where energy was stuck within a person. Maybe you would call it, I could see auras, but I was definitely very tuned into the energy and could see things that were beyond what most people could see. But as you can imagine, it was also a very overwhelming thing for me. And so it's something that I shut off really big time. And then when I, went through all the pain that I was talking about before, with the migraine and everything, and migraines make a person super sensitive to light, so I couldn't have the lights on, but I began to tune into kind of, I guess you'd call it, seeing energy again. And I began to remember what it was like when I was a child. But again, it was really overwhelming. And I found myself sort of, what felt like sort of stuck between worlds. Like, how do I be in this world, in our three-dimensional reality, and be so open and perceptive to so much more? And so I realized that for my own peace of mind, I had to develop a tool to help me to slow things down and have, like, the cards, the deck that I've created is these super simple images, one little, it's a black and white image, one word, one color, like just really break it down to a really simple symbolization and key. And I could go through these cards and utilize them sort of like someone might utilize tarot, but it's much simpler. You don't have you don't have to think about it. You don't have to know so much. It's just like pulling one little card, getting one little symbolism, one little color, and then asking myself, what does this bring up for me? Another way to ask it would be, what do I feel? And this way, in putting it into something physical, I was able to give myself a more comfortable way to filter, you know, I didn't want to turn it all off again. I didn't want to go back to not seeing and perceiving at deeper levels at all. But I also didn't want so much in my face all the time, because when we're in a state of overwhelm, we're not able to do the work of growing and transforming very well either. And so this was a way for me to really help myself to take it bit by bit, step by step, as I was ready, by utilizing these cards. And it's also a tool that I developed not only for myself, but for the women that I desired to work with and begun working with these. And what I would do is, in a session with them, we would pull a card or cards, and I would guide them into whatever this brought up for them. And a lot of times there's emotion connected with it. Sometimes there's memory connected with it. And then I would give them kind of a, what are the words I'm trying to use here? I would give them a suggested practice to tap into their creativity in relation to whatever was coming up. And in that way, their subconscious would, by what came up for them, their subconscious would say, hey, this is what needs attention. And then I was able to help give them a creative practice to go explore, to help them move that that energy and help them transform what was coming up.
And it's such a tangible tool to initiate change and to initiate that radical change and personal transformation.
Yeah.
So I think I love that you first created it for yourself. So, you know, it was your own practice that you developed, and you saw its incredible benefits, and then to gift that to the women that you're working with, and then to gift that to the world. It's just really meaningful, you know, because there's a great appreciation for that, because it taps into, again, the essence of who you are, which is creating and transforming and then helping other women and, you know, women to do that. You know,
yeah,
I want to add a little. Yeah, please go ahead.
I just want to add there that it reminds me, I love to tell the women I work with that the antidote, in my experience, the best antidote for depression is creative expression. And so that's a big key piece in when I work with women, helping them find their joy again through expressing themselves.
And I feel like we as women sometimes try to repress that, you know, that creative, or we put it on the back burner because we have so many other things going on. We're like, no, you know, that time can wait. And it's such an important part of personal growth and transforming our lives and living our best life. And, you know, I love that you do that and you help women do that. And I haven't seen very many coaches use that creativity to do that. And it's so important and it's so beautiful to see that. In your bio and learning more about you, I learned that you're also, you know, a sacred sexuality mentor. Can you tell us what that is and what that means for women working for you and for their life?
Yes, definitely. I'd be honored. So first of all, one of the reasons I use the word sacred sexuality mentor is because I don't currently do anything in my work with women, in the sessions with women, where I am teaching them, where people are paying me to teach them about sacred sexuality, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I'm naturally a mentor for because it's naturally such a key part of who I am and my path and how I came to my path. And so I find that in all of the, like I've catered a lot of women's retreats. I've told you that I'm a chef as well. And in all the situations I find myself where I'm in a group of women, somehow the conversation always gets turned to where people are asking me these really deep questions as they relate to my experiences with sacred sexuality. And so let's see. First of all, I want to express that sexual energy is creative energy, all right? And I think that there's so much in our culture that puts a lot of shame and a lot of guilt, a lot of hiding around anything that has to do with sexuality. But then on top of that, if you try and put sacred or spiritual into the conversation with sex, you know, some people mm-hmm. can't handle it. They'll leave the room. They can't feel like utter blasphemy. But what's been so interesting for me time and time again is I haven't stood up on a pulpit and tried to tell people all about how sex and sacredness go together. But the conversation keeps coming back to me to share. And it keeps being in these really intimate, special ways. And this is the first time I've done it in a more, I guess you'd call it public way, where it's not just a small, intimate group of women that I'm standing in front of. Going back to when I first started finding my joy in my art again, coming out the other side of all that pain I mentioned before, how it started is I would get into these creative flows where I would be painting as a means to, it was the only thing that relieved my pain. I would have these migraines and I was in so much pain, but if I could start painting in such a way where I wasn't thinking about it, I wasn't trying to make anything, I was just getting into a creative flow and just letting whatever happened happen, just letting it come out, you know, just wild, unabandoned or whatever, mm-hmm. Then I would get into this blissful place. And then at some point from this blissful place, I would start experiencing sheer ecstasy. Where I had started out in pain, I was now in ecstasy. And I started having I hadn't heard this before, so I think I coined the phrase pinealgasm, where I felt like pineal is located in the area of what they talk about, your third eye, like in the chakra system and a lot of Eastern medicine. And I would have like what you might imagine an orgasm, like this just burst of exuberance, but from my forehead feeling. It was unbelievable. And I was like, oh my God, I've tapped into something so huge here. But yet I was terrified at that time. This was about 6 years ago. Like, how could I ever explain this to anyone? You know, like, how could I tell anyone this? They would think I'm completely nuts. But I've gotten past that enough now. And on top of that, not long after that, as I began to explore this bliss and this pleasure I was finding, I began to explore my own directly sexual bliss and pleasure and find that that was also an antidote for my pain. And that when I was in the most pain, you wouldn't think of like, you know, this is time to like get sexy, have an orgasm, but it actually was the most relieving thing. And through that, I began to have such profound spiritual insights, like I guess you would call them visions, while I was in a place of self-pleasuring, honestly. And then that extended into my relationship with my husband. So now I've been diving into that in a partnership way too, and it's just been life transforming. And I feel like I'm just on the cusp of even really tapping into that. But it's clear that it's something I have a lot of work to do with and a lot to share on.
And you've really, your expressiveness about it and your, you know, the way you talk about it, it's just, you know, it gives me goosebumps. I can feel the energy behind it. I can feel the passion behind it, and it's so incredibly moving and motivating, and it makes you want to know more, because again, this is an area that we as women haven't really tapped into, or we try to repress it, and we need to tap into it more, you know, feel it more, experience it more. And I love that mm-hmm. you are creating a space for that, a sacred
yes.
space where women feel comfortable doing that and allowing women that space to do that. And that's yes. just a beautiful, beautiful, magical thing. You talk about your, you know, your now you're diving into this in a partnership setting, and there are incredible benefits to that too, and being able to do that in a place where, you know, you're strong, standing your foundation, and you're able to incorporate that into that relationship. So thank you for sharing that. I mean, we're just really excited to see your journey through this and learn more about it. And, you know, you'll hear me say it on every podcast episode, I tend to stalk my guests. And what I mean by that is I'm always on your Facebook or your Instagram or your social media, just, you know, learning more about you and soaking you all in, because I just have such a great appreciation for the work that you do. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're also a mom like me. I'm a mother. My son's 16, and it's just this really incredible, unique age. And, mm-hmm. you know, how did being a mother change you as an artist? Did it inspire mm-hmm. your art in any way?
Yeah, really good question. Well, I actually became a mother at the tender age of 18, and my daughter that I had then is now 18.
Wow.
So full circle. And, you know, it was really interesting because in the couple years before my daughter was born, I was really on a very creative path. I was diving into fabric arts. I was selling my art already at 17. I also had a job as a professional baker, having started out in restaurants, washing dishes when I was 14 and working my way into baking. And so I had a lot going on for me creatively, and I knew that whether it was a chef or a professional artist, that was definitely going to be my life path. But then I got pregnant with my daughter, and it was as though my creativity completely dried up, vanished, gone. And I remember being pregnant with her thinking, I don't even know how to doodle anymore. Like, it just wasn't there. And it took me until a while after her birth to realize that I had so much creative energy going into creating this baby. And, you know, I think back to that now when I think about creative energy, because it's so much bigger than we realize. It's not just about painting or drawing or writing. There's so much more. And my creative energy was really focused on creating this child. But from the time she was tiny, I always found ways to bring art in. I was always the crafty mom. You know, we were always painting or making music, or a lot of my friends and neighborhood children, I would get them involved. But my art, in terms of for me, like in terms of what I wanted to create, I didn't really give myself permission to have that much at all again until after my second child. And he's 9 now, and he was probably 2. And I came through this massive pain, just like, if anyone knows what this means, I was going through my Saturn return and in astrology. And I was at this point when you're approaching 30, where a lot of times shit kind of hits the fan and you find yourself, you know, everything turns on its head. And it was out of desperation that I found my creativity again, like for me at a deep level that wasn't just like fun, crafty mom, you know? And so that's only been, like, that was like 2012 that I really begun painting for me and creating, you know, what I desired. And I didn't sell my first painting until like 2015. So it's only been a few years.
Wow, that's incredible, because, I mean, if you're able to go, and we'll get all of your social media handles for our listeners, if you're able to go see her art, it's incredibly moving. And, you know, I've seen all of your pieces, and I have a great connection to one. I've invested in one of your paintings, and you know, the investment was because it moved me. It's, you know, and thank you. You've been such a gift in my life, you know, for allowing me to make that investment and do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a connection that I felt to your artwork. It was this, you know, I saw it and I saw it more than once. And I kept going back to see it over and I saved it on my Instagram. You know, you can now save like certain posts and.
Sure.
So, to hear you say that your paintings, you know, you sold your first painting just, you know, a couple of years ago. It's mind-boggling to me because, again, it's just incredible pieces, and I have a great connection to that one piece. So, learning more about you, you are this just creative being, and I can feel that, I can sense that. You're also a chef, you know, and it's another creative outlet. How does food play a role in this self-care, self-growth journey?
Well, it's so essential and fundamental. You know, I mean, you are what you eat. You know, our food is the building blocks. And, you know, not only is the quality of the food, whereas, you know, if you can grow a garden or at the very least go to a farmer's market and get those quality organic and heirloom foods, not only are you getting the best possible building blocks for your body so you can be the best you can possibly be, but when you have that food prepared with love, whether it's by yourself or your loved ones, or you just happen to be in a groovy little town with a great cafe where you know every time you go there, you just feel so good on every level because of the energy that goes into it. I mean, that's what we really should all be striving for as much as possible. And so, you know, as a chef, I fell in love with cooking at a very young age. And it was because of my mother who taught me a lot about the energetics behind cooking. And she wouldn't let me be in the kitchen if I was grumpy. And she would tell me how important it was to, you know, prepare food for people with a grateful heart. And that made such an impression on me. And so, you know, I started working in restaurants, but then at some point the restaurant industry was really challenging because you have so much stress and so much pressure, go, go, go. And there's like, it's hard to actually put food out the window so fast and put the intent into it that I desire. And so I stepped away from that scene and began only doing like private chef work. And then I don't currently really work as a commercial chef, but a few times a year I cater women's retreats with a client that I have. And that's been such a blessing for me because to be able to be in an environment where you've got a group of people that actually get the medicine that you're there to give, which is so much bigger than the physical building blocks, even though they matter. There's energy and intent behind it too.
Absolutely. And I think food is also another creative outlet, and like you said, when it's prepared with love, I love to cook, and I'm not, you know, an expert by any means, but I love to be able to sit there and pour that love into my food and then see, you know, the people around me have that joyfulness after eating it and that feeling, you know, full as in whole. And, you know, it's just it's such a gift that you get to give others. And I really do believe that, you know, there's several movies with, you know, people that are cooking and the magic of pouring into it and their love and all of these really whimsical movies. But I love them because there is some validity behind that, that when you, you know, prepare a meal with love, it tastes completely different.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of what you've connected with in my art as well, is that everything that I do creatively, I do with this intent where there's so much love and there's so much passion and there's so much gratitude and all the good things, you know, behind it, that I have heard from many people that energy really shows up in what I create, whether it's the paintings or whether it's the food. It's like, oh, I can feel the love in this. And that's, I couldn't hope for anything more than to provide that.
Yes, and it is, you know, I have such a great appreciation for creators and artists, and, you know, because you put your heart and soul into it. You know, it's like when you read a book that moves you. I've read books that I've cried. You know, your art literally gives me chills and I feel myself tear up. And again, it's that connection and that energy. And if anything, there's proof that energy does exist, and it is, can, it is changing, and it can change us and make us better and make us want to do better. You know, as we come to a close, I'm so thankful that you were a guest on our show today. I would love for you to let us know, or let our listeners know, how they can connect with you. Where do they find you? Where do they find your art? All of that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've become a little harder to find these days. And that will change. But no, actually, a little over a year ago, I took my website down. I think I deleted my social media account. I did a big, burn it all to the ground kind of thing, which tends to be a little bit a part of my nature, actually. I've got a lot of Scorpio in there in my chart. And I'm working on not burning everything all the way to the ground when I get in that kind of place. So, but having said all that, I started a new Instagram page just a few months back, and you can find that at on Instagram at Amber Rosewater. And let's see. Also, I have a Facebook page, and that is at amberrosewater.artist. I don't have any website up right now. I'm working on that. And it's like, I don't even want to tell you guys the name yet of the things that I have in the background, because they're so in incubation right now. But I'm really excited about the big things that I have coming, and the ways that I want to serve more women. So if you want to get in touch, really the best way is Instagram, honestly, at Amber Rosewater.
Wonderful. And they can find your, you have an Instagram for your art as well.
Correct? Oh yes. And that's at Feather and Scale. And I also used to have all of my art on Society 6, and I've taken all of that down and just starting fresh. So
sometimes
there's
we
a
need
lot
to do
more
that.
To come for me soon. Mm-hmm. I just really, really needed to. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you again for being a guest. I'm so thankful. I'm excited to have this episode out, and just, thank you again for being a guest here today.
You're so welcome, and I'm so grateful too. It's been an honor.
Thank you.
Today's episode has been brought to you by One Yoga Center. Is one of the leading yoga studios serving the greater Mercer County, New Jersey area, offering classes for everyone, a welcoming space to enlighten your body, mind, and spirit. One Yoga Center expands beyond yoga with a wide range of holistic options for you to choose from, including Reiki, massage therapy, energy, and Thai body work. One Yoga Center embodies founder Tracy Ulshafer's ideology that all life is connected to one whole, one being the most complete word in the universe. Nothing seems more perfect than one. If you're not local, be sure to check out Tracy Ulshafer's new book, The Accidental Yogini, now on Amazon.